Well, next to Ukraine, last night Russia and Ukraine traded drone strikes. As this happened, US President Donald Trump said peace talks would happen with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Tuesday. The Kremlin has confirmed this since as EU foreign ministers meet in Brussels. Well, earlier I spoke to BBC Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse. He started by telling us about overnight drone attacks.
I think by Russian standards, it's been quite the night. I think we've got the Ukrainian officials saying more than 170 were intercepted and they targeted regions right across Ukraine, the central Kyiv region, Odessa in the south, Kharkiv in the northeast. And clearly, I think what struck me is how Ukraine's air defences seem to still be doing their job relatively, despite all of the disruption with America pausing its aid and sharing its intelligence. But, you know, Ukraine has not been shy about the about its own attempts to hit back, with Russian officials across the border saying more than 70 have been intercepted there. So there is no reprieve, no let up, despite all the talk of talks and the talks of peace that are going on. But of course, even if when these drones are intercepted, it's the falling debris that can cause damage.
The retaking of the Kursk region by Russia, Ukrainian soldiers have described their withdrawal as catastrophic and like a horror movie. Bring us up to date about what's happening there this afternoon.
Yes, so at government level, they're disputing these Russian reports that Ukrainian troops are being encircled and forced out. But I think if you look at the evidence, if you look at what Russian bloggers are saying, all of the analysis on the area, it is clear that Ukraine is losing the swathes of territory it seized last summer, and they are increasingly being encircled close to the border. Now, what Ukrainian troops have told the BBC is that the withdrawal was chaotic. There is a main supply route from the northeastern Sumy region, which goes into Kursk, and it's the only way in a military sense, in and out. And what the soldiers are describing is how the Russians have complete air superiority now. So there are drones constantly in the sky, which can either drop explosives or deliberately crash into soldiers and their vehicles. And it seems to be a pretty desperate picture. I think the one positive for Ukraine is that it's clear that Russia, until now, it had resisted redeploying troops from the eastern front line in the Donetsk region. It seems now Russia has redeployed troops to try and force Ukraine out, because we've seen Ukraine able to force some counteroffensives elsewhere. But you can be sure that the Kremlin will try to keep any kind of ceasefire at bay until those Ukrainian troops are finally forced from Russian land. But it just briefly, it doesn't even stop there. We've got the border authorities in Ukraine saying that Russian forces are using this momentum to try and attack the Sumy region itself. So it could be a complete reversal.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky also saw Kursk as a bargaining chip for any peace talks. Where does this leave Ukraine? Where does it leave him?
It's not a great outcome. I mean, it begs the question, what was it for, if it's taken this long for Russian troops to be redeployed in this way? If Ukraine does not keep hold of this territory, which I don't think it will in time for a negotiation, then it amounts to nothing. I mean, it did act as a catalyst for prisoner of war exchanges, but it was a rolling of the dice. I mean, I spoke to one retired officer in Ukraine who sort of suggested, you know, if you're going to use this tactic, why not probe on the border, take some territory, draw the troops, then pull out to preserve your own soldiers, and then probe again somewhere else. But clearly Ukraine thought it could try and hold it for the best part of a year. And at the moment, it looks like it's not going to amount to anything.
Now, James, as all this happens, the US continues to push for a ceasefire. President Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin will hold peace talks tomorrow. What can we expect?
Well, if you're going on Donald Trump's own unique trail, I mean, he says, you know, we've got the Kremlin and Washington both confirming this phone call's taking place. He told reporters on Air Force One, he said, we're going to talk about territory, power plants, as well as dividing up resources, which is quite a troubling term, I think, if you're talking about carving up a sovereign country that has been invaded. And it's not clear over who would that would be carved up between, America and Russia or Ukraine and Russia. As for the power plant reference, he is referring to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. It's the biggest in Europe, and it's been occupied since March 2022. It's clear the Ukrainians are trying to propose that it gets control of that site back, as well as the surrounding area, which sits on the sort of southern bank of the Dnipro River, which has been occupied by Russia until now. And it looks like the Americans are keen for this plant to be used to supply Ukraine with electricity once more because of its capability. So Donald Trump is looking to broker a ceasefire. But if you look at Vladimir Putin, he is inserting caveats everywhere to try and delay this process. And those caveats, those demands, are still the political capitulation of Ukraine, and not just the land he's seized so far, but more.
BBC Ukraine correspondent James Waterhouse.